No matter how much scientific knowledge we acquire about the world we live in, physical reality is never enough. The human spirit knows there is always more to be revealed, that there is something more out there if we could only lift the veil. Paul's speech to the Athenians gathered at the elite court of the Areopagus was designed to get his audience thinking about that inner yearning for something more, that groping for the unknown God. Over in Italy, there is a small town with a beautiful cathedral that was built in the 14th century. The beauty of the church has inspired countless people for hundreds of years. It's truly a monument of faith. Tourists visit this beautiful old cathedral and marvel at its art. But when the new pastor arrived in that town, he was faced with an empty building. Very few people in the little town worshipped in that grand old cathedral. The church was gorgeous, but spiritually it was dead. So the pastor made a very dramatic decision. He decided to move the congregation out of that magnificent edifice. Together, he and some of the townspeople built a simple cinder block church, a short distance from the beautiful cathedral. It certainly was no match for that beautiful cathedral, and yet on Sundays it was packed with people, young and old. This new church is a thriving, worshiping community. It has a contagious and lively faith. Pastor offers this explanation. He said the beautiful 14th century church is not theirs. It belongs to another era, another people. For faith to make any difference in our lives, it must first be our own. Faith isn't something we can borrow from our neighbors or our parents or anyone else. We must claim faith as our own if it is to make any difference in our lives. The Apostle Paul was completing his missionary journey when he stopped off in Athens. At that time, Athens was the center of Western civilization, the home of the great philosophers and the intellectual center of the world. Being the intellectual giant that he was, Paul probably enjoyed roaming the streets of the renowned town. As he walked, he was struck by the number of statues to the various gods. Well, one day Paul decided to address the Athenian people from the famous Areopagus. Athenians loved to hear new ideas. Some of them came every day to this spot to listen to the various viewpoints and philosophies. Some of them had heard Paul speak in the synagogue, others in the marketplace. The people were intrigued with his strange ideas. Paul was a novelty. The Athenians had inquiring minds. They wanted to hear something new. Paul was standing in the place where the famous Greek philosophers once stood to address the crowd. He began by telling the crowd how much he had enjoyed walking through their city. Paul complimented them, saying, "I see how extremely religious you are in every way." It's important for us to see that Paul didn't condemn the Athenians for worshiping idols. He was smart with them. Paul knew from experience that the best way to win people over is with honey and not vinegar. There is an old, interesting story about the French philosopher Voltaire. He was visiting London in the year 1727, and this was a time of extremely strained relations between France and England. Walking along the street one day, he found himself facing an angry crowd of Englishmen. "Hang the Frenchmen," they started screaming. Voltaire quickly took advantage of the situation, and he took a few steps back.
And he called out, "Englishman, you want to kill me because I'm a Frenchman? Am I not punished enough already in not being an Englishman?" The crowd not only applauded, they saw to it that Voltaire got home safely. Paul used that same kind of strategy with the people of Athens. You see, when we start where people are, we have the greatest chance of winning them over to Christ. I always love the Peanuts comic strip, and in one Peanuts comic strip, Linus listens intensively as his sister Lucy tells him about her potential as an evangelist. She says to Linus, "I was made a good evangelist. You know that kid who sits behind me at school? I convinced him that my religion was better than his religion." "How did you do that?" Linus asks. "I hit him with my lunchbox," Lucy replied. Well, the Apostle Paul begins with a compliment, not a condemnation. He didn't tell them they were way out in left field. He begins his message where they were. He acknowledged their many statues to the gods. This indicated their yearning for God, and he complimented them on that yearning. While walking, he told them he had already seen an altar with the inscription to an unknown god. The Greeks, you see, believed in many gods, and they had a god for every occasion. And just to cover all the bases, they built this altar to an unknown god, just in case they had left one of the gods out. Paul says in a very friendly and non-coercive way, "I'd like to tell you about this unknown God." That's evangelism at its best. Paul's motivation in sharing his witness with the Athenians was because he knew personally the tragedy of an unfulfilling faith. In Christ, he had found something infinitely better, something life-transforming, something real and satisfying. And he wanted to share it. Standing among the inquiring Greeks, Paul viewed his situation as an opportunity to tell the people about the one true God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. For Paul, sharing his faith was the most natural thing in the world. But many of us act as if it is the most difficult. Let me tell you a story about a woman by the name of Dorothy who was one day listening to a Christian radio station as she drove to the grocery store. The person on the radio was talking about kindness, and he said to the audience, he said, "I wonder how many of you are listening to me on your car radio and thinking of how can I be kind while driving?" Well, Dorothy began to think about what he was saying, and a few blocks away, she saw a woman waiting in her car to come out of her driveway. Traffic was heavy, and Dorothy knew she'd have a hard time getting out. And so she stopped and let the woman out. The woman smiled and waved a friendly wave. And when she got to the grocery store, Dorothy saw a parking space, and as she started pulling in, another car on the opposite side also started pulling in. Dorothy let her have it and backed out and found another side. Well, when they both got out of their cars, the driver of the other car said, "I can't believe that you just did that. Most people would have made me back out of their coffee for the space." Dorothy explained what she'd heard on the radio about showing kindness and love. The two women began talking. Dorothy discovered that the woman had just moved into the area and didn't know anyone and was looking for a church. "I invited her to come to our church," Dorothy says. "And a strong friendship has blossomed from our chance meeting in a small act of kindness. A chance meeting changed someone's life, and a friendship blossomed in the process." This happens because Dorothy was seeking out to live out her Christian faith. God, Paul said to the people of Athens, is not far from each one of us. And then he quoted from a famous Greek poet that all people were familiar with. For in Him we live and move and have our being. The God they were searching for has come to them in Jesus Christ. The one who was invisible has become visible. The God they were searching for is the God who sent Jesus. Then Paul gave his invitation. Paul told them how God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, here is where the sheep were separated from the goats. Some scoffed at the idea of the resurrection of the dead. Others said, we will hear you again about this. But there are some who joined him and became believers. For some, Paul's message was nothing more than an afternoon's entertainment. Nothing more than mental acrobatics. They would not be changed by the gospel. For others, it was the beginning of a new life. Some of those who listened to the Apostle Paul in Athens that day heard and responded positively. And others just walked away. And now it's our turn. Shall we follow Christ even to the point of being a living presence, witness to His presence? Or are we content to protect what we have now? 40-year-old Laura works in a sales office in the Midwest. She works in the same office as her brother-in-law, John. Laura said that more than anyone else, John was instrumental in leading her to Christ. What made the difference in Laura's life was not eloquent, persuasive speeches. Her transformation from skeptic to believer had mostly to do with how John lives. A turning point came one morning when John took one of her calls. It was someone Laura wanted to avoid talking to. Tell him I'm not here, she said. John took the call, but later felt badly about having lied. And he told Laura it bothered him to be untruthful. As we talked about it, Laura said, I came to a new understanding about his beliefs and his convictions. It made a big difference. It wasn't his preaching that moved her, but his integrity. Laura watched how John treated other people. I've never seen a man more devoted to his wife than John, she said. I knew instinctively that the Lord was in their lives. And that was the reason for their special relationship. From that moment on, Laura began attending church. Her search was over. Nothing is more appealing than a life that has been authentically touched by the Master's hand. Some of the Athenians saw that in Paul. Do they see that in you? Or in me? Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, come into the brokenness of our lives and our world with your healing love. Consume the pride and prejudice that separate us from one another. Comfort us in our sorrow as we mourn the loss of life around the world. Instill in each heart a hope for the future and a resolve to make this world one of mutual compassion and care. Lord, fill us with your love. And draw us together in the unity that you call us to share as your people. It is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.